Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 26 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by Steve. Today, we're going to discuss what's taken place in the last week in nerd news. We're going to begin with the Amazon Prime show, The Boys. We're going to give our thoughts on that since we've both watched through a few of the episodes there. We're also going to discuss the Watchmen show, specifically the showrunner and Alan Moore in a little bit of a conflict about the direction of the show. We also are going to talk about some esports competitions with the Fortnite championship that's just taken place this last week. Instagram is a whole new round of bans that they've put on individual accounts, and these are centered around meme pages, and we're going to discuss where your memes have gone. And then we're going to talk about how a near-miss asteroid almost killed us all. Stick around. Enjoy the show.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, welcome back, nerds, and thanks for joining us here for episode 26 of the Nerd Cantina Show. We're going to go ahead and get started, but first, we just want to remind everybody that hey, we've taken movie reviews out of our actual episodes here because Steve is trying to give it to you before you hit your weekend as these movies come out. So we've got Once Upon a Time review. If you didn't catch it over the weekend, Steve saw that movie and posted it on our YouTube page.
And so there's a quick 5-minute YouTube review you can check out on YouTube if you want the visuals. You can stare at my ugly mug for 5 minutes and get the gist of it. Or you can go to the nerdcantina.com in the review section, and it's posted up as my written article also. So it's a great movie. Highly recommend you guys go see it. So check out the review and find out if it's for you.
And then future movie news that I wanted to make sure we talked about was pretty pumped up about Zombieland 2 trailer getting dropped.
This is one of those comedy sequels that everybody's been kind of waiting for. I mean, I've been dying for a Pineapple Express 2. I know a lot of people are dying for another guy's 2. They just keep making these great one-off movies, you know, Step Brothers. And you don't get a sequel. I think people are afraid to make a part two to these great comedies. But they ventured into Zombieland, and they're coming with a second one, and everybody signed on, and a handful of new stars. You know, I think it was so successful in its first rendition, and the fact that you have all four stars are either Academy Award winners or Academy Award nominees in a goddamn zombie comedy. You know, so I think of some other, you know, actors weren't too hesitant to sign on to do some cameos in the next one. So it looks like it's going to be a fun time.
No, yeah, it looks like it's just keeping the nonsense from that first movie going. And Zombieland's one of the movies that I can watch at any time. Like, I could play that in the background of my life anytime.
Oh yeah, it's great background noise. If it comes on cable, you stop flipping the channel and you're just like, all right, I'll settle right here. You know, there's a handful of those movies. Zombieland's definitely on that list.
All right, and then a show that we've been talking about for the last couple months because we were excited for it to come out has finally released. It actually released a day before advertised, and that's Amazon Prime's The Boys. What do you think of the first couple episodes there?
I'm 3 episodes in. I think you said you were the same.
Yep, exactly.
I didn't really get a chance to binge it all this week, and I'll probably finish it this week. But so far, man, I'm loving it. You know, it's such a good take on a crazy realistic superhero world. You know, like everything in Marvel, everything in the MCU, even DC is kind of, you know, You're wearing rose-colored glasses looking at these worlds. You know, the bad guys are bad, but they always lose, and they don't have, like, they never show you behind the curtain. You know, this whole show is behind the curtain. You know, I love the corporate aspect of it, the sponsorships, because to me, that's exactly how the world would be. You know, like, if you had these uber crazy popular superheroes. I mean, just look at Instagram models and stuff like that. If you got people paying attention to you, people are going to try to make money off of you. So the whole corporate aspect of it is great to me.
Yeah, no, they've done a really good job. From what I remember following the comic, it's been years since I read the comic, which is good because I'm not nitpicking individual details that they're changing. but it keeps the tone of the comic very well. It definitely comes through with just how shitty would superheroes be? If there was actually hundreds of superheroes, would they all altruistically just love society and try to protect us without any self-interest? Nope. That's not how things work.
Yeah, it keeps with the whole theme of, absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, like you're not going to have these beings with this kind of level of popularity and this kind of level of power not be dickheads. Like it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So but they do a really good job of painting that picture. The first episode comes out right away and sets the stage and the expectations for what this show should be. And then 2 and 3 are great. And I think there's only 8 episodes.
Yeah. That's how they do a lot of these streaming, 8 or 10 they usually give you a first season.
Yeah, so I'll probably finish it out this week, but it's definitely well done. If you haven't picked up the comic or you don't know what The Boys is, you should watch it. If you got an Amazon Prime account or you know somebody who does, you should just go ahead and log in and watch this show.
Yeah, this is your chance to check out the show before we really go into in-depth details, because we'll probably do a spoiler filled talk about it next week when we wrap up the actual series at the end of the show. So here's your chance to catch up. You got some homework, go do the shit.
And then moving on to another show coming out soon, which may have inspired The Boys to some degree, and that's the Watchmen. The latest news about the Watchmen is that the showrunners are not really being supported by Alan Moore, and there was some clickbaitiness coming out of that.
Yeah, Alan Moore is he's a great writer, brilliant mind, but he's kind of a dick too. Like you can say that he's very proud of what he's wrote and is very skeptical of anybody, I guess, doing it justice. So he would just rather not let anybody touch his toys, which makes me wonder why he released it in the first place.
It is one of those weird things. I guess, when did The Watchmen come out? It was early 90s, right?
No, early 2000s. Late 80s?
No, was it?
Oh, the comic? I thought you meant the movie. Oh, no, the comic. I want to say late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, so, at that time, there wasn't a big mass adaptation of these things. So maybe in his vision, he never wanted it to be adapted. But those checks are still getting spent, dude. Like, don't act like you're not taking the HBO money and then saying, don't put your name on it.
Well, and that's the thing. He sold the rights. Who made the Watchmen movie? I'm assuming it was WB.
I think so.
Yeah, just because they gave it to Snyder and Snyder did the Justice League and stuff. So I'm assuming it was in the same company. But yeah, like you sold it off. You took the check. You took the money. You had a lawyer read the contract. You knew that they could do, certain things with the story that they wanted to do. You can't really complain about it on the back end, especially when they did a pretty good job with the movie in the first place. Like you really, I don't think any fans had, huge complaints.
Yeah. There's some minor changes from the graphic novel, but nothing. Yeah. That completely put people off.
I can't hear that song anymore without thinking people boning in a floating spaceship, like thing. Like it's such like, was it the Hallelujah? Like that comes on in church and I'm just picturing comic heroes boning. Like there's going to be no wake or funeral where someone sings that song and I mourn. It's going to be straight. What's her name? I can't remember, but they ruined that song for me.
Yeah. Well, I like, so Damon Lindelof is who's the showrunner. He's directing portions of the show. He he's come out and I think he's been very honest in what he's said and his response to Alan Moore is kind of, Alan Moore's got a little bit of criticism in there, and a lot of it is just Alan Moore just saying, hey, don't put my name on this show. Don't associate you. Your Watchmen is not my Watchmen, and I don't want anything to do with it.
Don't use my name to get people to watch this. And it's like, I don't think anybody was going to watch it purely because, like, oh, an Alan Moore adaptation? Sure, I'll watch it. Like, no, you knew it's because it's The Watchmen. Like, and anybody who knows what The Watchmen is, no, Alan Moore wrote it, so it's not like they really need to use your name, buddy. Like, they just need to use the title, and anybody with a Google search bar, you know, can figure out who wrote it.
Yeah, and but some of the quotes coming out of this.
Why don't you read the quote out just so that everybody, because these are like, they should be printed on a t-shirt, these quotes. That's how good they are.
Yeah, so David Lindelof, he was originally asked about it, and I'll just read the whole thing because it's entertaining. But he says, as someone whose entire identity is based around a very complicated relationship with my dad, who I constantly need to prove myself to and never will, Alan Moore is now that surrogate. Well, Alan, if you didn't want an adopted son, Damon Lindelof's that guy. And your disapproving is already harming his soul. So next he says, the wrestling match that will continue. I do feel like the spirit of Alan Moore is a punk rock spirit, a rebellious spirit. And that if you would tell Alan Moore, a teenage Moore in 85 or 86, you're not allowed to do this because Superman's creator or Swamp Thing's creator doesn't want you to do it, he would say, fuck you, I'm doing it anyway. So I'm channeling the spirit of Alan Moore to tell Alan Moore, fuck you, I'm doing it anyway.
That's gold.
It is gold.
Fuck, and you, fuck you, I'm doing it anyways is like my next tattoo. Like, that shit is gold.
And the best part is that then David Lindelof, or he says, Damon Lindelof, he says afterwards that, hey, that's clickbait, guys. That's your clickbait title. And no shit, if you Google it, everybody puts Damon Lindelof tells Alan Moore to go fuck himself. They definitely used it.
Watchmen showrunner tells Alan Moore, fuck you, I'm doing it anyways.
He continues to go on and say that he says, I'll continue the quote, but he goes, I don't think that I've made peace with it. Alan Moore is a genius, in my opinion, the greatest writer in the comic medium, and maybe the greatest writer of all time. He's made it very clear that he doesn't want to have any association or affiliation with Watchmen ongoing, and that we not use his name to get people to watch it, which I want to respect. So he's doing it the right way. He's telling him, hey, we're going to go our creative direction. We're going to continue with our adaptation. He obviously wishes that Alan Moore would give him some fatherly hug or approval at the end of this thing. But he's going to continue doing it. And he's not stepping over anything that Watchmen did before. He has stated that everything from the original is canon going forward. This is something that is 100% following afterwards. And the graphic novel itself, not the movie, is the canon. So the changes in the graphic novel to the movie, he's going to follow the graphic novel as what feeds into fast forwarding essentially 20 years. It's going to be brought into modern day time, so 2019 in the movie. Not the 2019 we know. There's going to be no cell phones, no internet. It's a really still dystopian type society, but it's brought significantly forward from what was the graphic novel.
And I mean, if you're Alan Moore, don't you want someone like this to do the remake? I mean, he obviously has respect for the dude. He obviously, you know, like, they're going to make this show either way, right? So would you rather have a dude that says, look, I think you're the greatest writer. I think everything that you did was great. I'm going to take this check and I'm going to make a good show, even though you don't like it. Sorry about it. Fuck off. Rather than, you know, a Zack Snyder who's going to kill, you know, take Superman and have Superman snap people's necks and just totally go, you know, have Batman kill people and totally do shit that the original creators of these characters never wanted. And you know what I mean? Like, he's obviously got a respect level despite telling him to fuck off. Like, you would think that there isn't any respect there, but he told him to fuck off probably in the most respectful way you possibly could tell someone to fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like if I was Alan Moore in this situation, I would respect him more after this quote and what he's said, because yeah, he's going to continue doing it, but he's got some valid points. You know, Watchmen steals a lot of normal traditional superhero tropes and plays a different twist on it, right? So what if creators told Alan Moore that back in the 80s? No, you do your creative side of these things, you further stories, you do the retellings, and you just gotta hope it turns out well. And like I said, I'm hoping somewhere in the future Alan Moore gives him a nice little pat on the back somewhere at a Comic-Con or whatever else. You get Damon Lindelof crying in the corner.
The little boy in all of us wants him to have that fatherly moment, but I think we all know that that's probably not going to come. Alan Moore will be on his deathbed still telling this dude to eat a dick.
But the show still looks great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually more
coming up real soon.
I every time new details comes out about what they're doing with it, like this Q&A that they just had, where these quotes came from. It seems like it's really kind of hitting some things that I want to hold.
You ain't stopping this train.
No,
like,
yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. It's left the station. Good luck. You know, so we might as well just enjoy the ride and see where it goes from here.
Well, let's go ahead and move out of TV movie news here. And we got some big talk in gaming. And this last weekend was the Fortnite Championships. That was just absurd. Did you watch any clips of it?
I watched a few clips. After this whole story, it just really makes me wish that 10-year-old Steve could tell our parents to fuck off. I'm gonna keep playing video games. You know, you're gonna rot your eyes. You're never gonna do anything. You're wasting your time with these video games. Yeah, fuck you, Dad. Like, if he would have known that eventually 16-year-old kids would be winning $3 million purses for playing a video game, I think a lot of parents' perspectives on gaming is going to change now.
In case any of you missed that. That is a 16-year-old just won $3 million. And that's only one of the 16-year-olds. And if you think that's an anomaly, that, hey, oh, this is just a crazy 16-year-old, the average age of all participants in the tournament was 16. So this is a league dominated by the teenagers.
And what's crazy about that, too, is that so, like, for every 20-year-old in the tournament, there had to have been a 12-year-old. You know what I'm saying? So to get an average age of 16, because you know there were some 20 and 30-year-old dudes trying to compete in there. So to average that out back down to 16, there had to have been some 10 and 12-year-old kids in that tournament just to even that back down to 16.
And to even get invited to the tournament, there was a bunch of preliminaries in order to get in. So everybody who was in this tournament made money. And I think somewhere I was trying to find actual like published numbers. So I'm going off of what other people are reporting, but to just be in the tournament, you already won a $50,000 prize to get there. And then these participants with the total purse being over $30 million and the main winner winning $3 million. I mean, this is big deal money. Yeah,
they divided $27 million up between other participants. Like, that's insane, man. Like, fucking insane.
Yeah, there was an interview I saw from one of the guys who took third place in the duo. So they didn't just do the solos. They had a duo tournament. And him and his partner, and they were talking about it. So this is was like a Canadian 16-year-old kid who talks about, like, the training that he goes through, and this is a job. He says, I wake up every day, I do some warm-up games, then I play with other pros. I play for about 9 hours a day. I do research. I figure it out. We get tips. I maybe watch a movie. I go to bed, and I do it again. 7 days a week, 9 to 10 hours of play time every day in order to train and keep my skills at this level. And it's like, man, There's a, one. Don't you have school? Is there no school anymore for you? I don't know what's going on here.
You hear those numbers and you hear about a 16-year-old living that kind of life, and you're like, oh, man, like, you should really get out the house more, and you're young, and you should enjoy life and this and that. And only how many of these kids are going to be able to make a life off this, you know? But that's the same with anything. I mean, how many hours of my life did I dedicate to football, and that shit got me nothing but bad fucking knees, right? You know, and probably CTE in another fucking 10-20 years. You know, like, I'm hoping to God I still remember my kids' names in a couple decades with the amount of hits I took throughout my life for nothing. Yeah. And you know, that was our dad's pride, was watching us on the field and you know, playing our hearts out. So, you know, parents have no problem with their kids dedicating entire summers of doubles and 3 hours a day after school, no family time and stuff, to play a recreational game that only a fraction of a percent will ever be profitable off of. You know, I don't know. It's really hard to kind of think about.
And athletics, in order to get to that top 1% of 1%, in order to play at a, you know, semi-professional level, you rely on a lot of genetics to get you there too. Mm-hmm. And esports is available to all. I mean, there's really only a certain subsects that probably can't game at that level.
You got a 6-inch vertical. Fortnite is for you.
Yeah, like it's pretty accessible. So it's interesting.
I'm just talking about the amount of time you have to dedicate to it. So parents don't have any problem with kids dedicating that amount of time to athletics, given the fact that, you know, most of us are going to go nowhere with these athletics. It's probably later on in life, but at the end of my life, it'll be a net negative of how it's affected my life. You know, so the fact that they're in their room for 6 to 8 hours a day gaming, trying to be a professional gamer, is it really any different than a kid trying to become a professional baseball or football player, a kid wanting to become a professional actor, or, you know, any of these careers that are very highly lucrative, yet only a handful of people with a little bit of luck and a little bit of talent will actually get? Yeah, is it really that different?
No, it's not. But in, you know, somewhere along the way, if we can go back into like the 1800s, I'm sure we could find like articles, headlines in the local newspapers talk about kids wasting their time playing this stupid game, baseball, right? And there's
hoops on sticks are ruining our culture.
Like, you know what I mean? There was once a fight against literacy, right? There's parents and stuff. Everybody wants to frame it off of previous generations before now. Esports wasn't a thing. There was also, generations where professional sports, live sports, wasn't a thing. And it was looked at as sports as a time-wasting endeavor that was wasting the youth's, you know, best times towards farming and learning or whatever the goal for society was at that time. So it looks at like a distractor now, and then fast forward 20 years from now, and esports is a major thing still going forward, and it all of a sudden isn't a distraction, and it's a legitimate thing. Well,
devil's advocate, you could always say that, you know, the physical activity that you use to try to be good in athletics can apply to everyday life. You know, I'm in a physical career now, so, you know, having my body adjusted for hard work does kind of benefit me. You want your kids to be fit and healthy, so out the outside running every day and doing this and doing that is beneficial. There are, I guess you can make the argument that one is a little bit better than the other, but really there's not too much of a distinction.
Yeah, and I mean, let's go ahead and talk about how well golf translates to my ability to do a damn thing in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, there's not always a transferable skill that you're going to gain from sport. But yeah, it's, I think it just requires a little bit of reframing for society. I still look at esports like, are you fucking kidding me? You know what I mean? Like the fact that the winners from this esports tournament for Fortnite won more than Wimbledon's champions this last year.
The kid that won the tournament at the Fortnite tournament won more money than Tiger Woods when he won the U.S. Open.
So
like that's fucking insane.
Yeah, that, and that's like there's still I need my own mental reframing to wrap my head around this shit because I just feel like I missed out.
yeah, we were born a decade or two too early. What I would like to know, and you know, there's probably some science behind this, is why is it that they are all so young at these tournaments? Because like you go to a Madden tournament, it's mostly mid-20s, early 30s. You go to like, so is it just the popularity of the game that it's only popular with these young kids? Because I still know a lot of adults that play Fortnite. I look on my friends list at night, you know, and I still got a couple buddies that are on there playing Fortnite. Ninja is the top rated, you know, Fortnite player. He's you know, in his 20s, late 20s, I think. You know, so how is it that the average age of this tournament was 16? Is there something to be said with the coordination skills it takes to play this game are better in young people? Is it just a more popular young game? Like those are the analytics I'm really curious about, is especially when there's $30 million at hand, there's motherfuckers with mortgages and bills they got to pay that probably wanted a piece of that pie. Instead, it's going to kids looking to buy their first fucking car.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a goddamn Lambo. You know,
like, oh, that $3 million already spent. That $3 million well, is already spent.
He said he's going to save it. He said really that I seen an interview. He said he's just going to buy a new gaming rig and desk. He wants
bullshit.
You know, that's what I say. You know, bullshit for sure. Dude's buying a Tesla bare minimum.
Yeah. He just bought himself 5 hot air balloons. He's going to try to recreate the whole entrance into Fortnite. he's going to go try to fly himself a bus on hot air balloons. The esports kind of translation to Fortnite, I'll give my theory on why I think Fortnite is this younger generation. It's because Madden and stuff has its own legacy fans that have continued to go through. And not to mention, you required mom and dad's money in order to buy that game. Fortnite was a free game that hit the scene fucking fast that everybody bought into, and because it was a completely new genre, it was a new style of play, it didn't follow any of the older ones, it created a new gamer subset, and because it was free to play, it became so accessible to everybody.
And I think a lot of us old game heads are stubborn as shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the legit gamers, they didn't play down to Fortnite when it first came through, but everybody else then immediately picked that up. And I think that's kind of what drives a bit of the younger audience, is how accessible it was, free to play. It was a completely new style of play, so a lot of people didn't want to translate their skills. You know, the Call of Duty people didn't translate to Fortnite. It was just brand new, so you get kind of this young audience that gravitates towards it and win $3 million.
Well, back to the kind of physical activity aspect of it, there was another story in gaming, you know, that kind of plays into that activity health. So there was a professional gamer named Crucial B, who at the latest fighting game tournament died of a heart attack at the tournament, in the bathroom at the tournament, waiting for his next match. He was very popular in that style of gameplay. It really kind of hit home with a lot of the gamers. We had King Hippo on our show, who's in that community. We actually are scheduling a couple more professional gamers in the fighting game realm coming up this week. So this really kind of affected that community. And it is a little scary. They did say it was due to a family history of heart disease. But at the same time, you know, if you're playing Fortnite 9 hours a day, you're sitting in a chair, you're gaming every day, trying to master your craft. You're probably ordering food because you don't want to take a break to make anything healthy. You're sitting in these chairs. I doubt that when you get out of the chair, you're doing anything too physically, you know, strenuous. So basically we kind of wanted to take this time to shout out a PSA to our nerd audience and let you guys know that, you know, health is something you guys should be aware of, that you need to take care of. Me and Ken lost our father at a young age due to heart disease, and he wasn't an obese man either. He was 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. You know, he was what they call skinny fat nowadays. You know, you have a degree in the health field. Is there any tidbits of that you want to let our audience know?
Yeah, I mean, so there's. What we hope is that there weren't like environmental factors that happened at the competition that played in. And if you go back to episode 8 of the Nerd Cantina Show, episode 8 with Tanner, who was King Hippo, and he's been in these competitions, he's fought in these competitions, and he, if you follow him on Twitter at King Hippo 42, he talks a lot about the fighting game community. And in that interview, he talks about how, you know, they'll go to these competitions and there's not a water bottle to be seen. And it's people doing nothing but drinking whatever free promotional energy drink that was getting passed out for free. Nobody has water in sight. New York had record high temperatures and this massive heat wave last weekend. And you're hoping that, yes, he probably had some lifestyle health problems. When you talk about, hey, being skinny fat, if your heart is not exercised, it doesn't matter whether you look skinny or look in shape. If you do not have a healthy heart, which is difficult, it requires training, it requires some dedicated effort, you could still be at pretty significant risk. And then if you add in some bad environmental factors like excessive heat, dehydration, whatever crazy concoctions are in the latest energy drink that you just drank seven of them in order to stay amped up for this competition. And if those factors play in, then you're just stacking risk factors on top of each other and hoping for the best.
That was one thing I noticed at the anime convention when I went there. They had all you could eat ramen and all you can drink Monsters. So, like, at any point, you could go in the anime convention and just grab a free Monster. And I remember seeing that and thinking to myself, like, that can't be healthy.
That's exactly what King Hippo talked about, was that's what these fighting game communities are all about. Like, Monster, Zions, some energy drink companies going to sponsor that event. And there's not going to be a single water bottle anywhere in that room. Like, you can't even find a water bottle if you wanted it. But within a foot of you is somebody peddling the latest energy drink, and that's all they do. And he said it's one of the most unhealthy events that he ever goes to, is these fighting game events. So, like I said, hopefully it doesn't come out that there was environmental factors, that the event organizers set this up to be just a nasty place.
They didn't make an announcement to any of the competitors. It started hitting Twitter, and people were checking their Twitter feeds and finding out that way. So instantly, without any notification from the family or the organizers, that's the first place everybody's brain went to. No water, you know, 180 people in this room watching these games in a tight air conditioned room in the middle of a New York heat wave, you know. So I don't want to rush to put blame on any organizer or anything like that, because his family did say that they do have family history of you know, this kind of condition. But it is sad, and you know, I definitely, when I heard this story, thought that I wanted to at least let our audience know that, you know, take care of yourselves. Be aware of your health. There's, I know we get wrapped up in our lives and in our hobbies, and it's really easy to lose focus on what's important, but, you don't want to cash out too soon, you know, and cut your life a little short just because you're so heavily invested into these things that you neglect, what's happening in your own body.
Go for a walk.
Yeah. Get up, get a Fitbit. It'll remind you, get off your ass, go get your steps in.
Well, Let's go ahead and move to Instagram. We've talked a lot. We talked last week about Instagram ban when we talked about Belle Delphine, and still no news as far as her account has not been reinstated. And I have not found the specific, Instagram addressing why they've banned her.
And she hasn't addressed it really on any of her other outlets either. Like, it's kind of, I think it's in maybe litigation or something, and they might be kind of trying to figure out where to go from here. So they're keeping a little hush hush, but they are not stopping from the ban hammer coming down on other accounts. So I guess over the weekend, Instagram went through a massive meme purge and banned a lot of just meme accounts.
Yeah, and so once you sent me this article, I had to read it, and yeah, that's a lot of meme accounts, and we're talking about millions of followers. Millions and millions of followers. Some of these accounts had individual follower accounts of 13 million people. So we're talking about massive accounts that got completely banned. Collectively, you're talking about hundreds of millions of, or at least tens of millions of followers of these different memes pages. And I didn't know why they would be banned. I actually didn't even know. I've apparently missed a side hustle somewhere. I have. As somebody who always wants to try to know every other way you can make money in this world, I've missed out on the fact that there is big money being made in memes. And what these meme accounts, all of these ones that got banned, what they're doing is they're selling time on their meme page. So they've got a 13 million person following. The Nerd Cantina can make our own fire meme that we want to get to some 13 million people to see it. And we send them a meme and we pay money. It talks about $150 to $200 in order for them to put it on multiple channels for 24 hours. A lot of these accounts that were banned, there were several of them owned by the same person. So I would pay money to the company. They would take my meme, they'd put it up for a little while on one of their accounts, and they'd repost it on another account, and then they just kind of share it around to millions of people, hoping to increase followership for those who are paying for the access.
And in the article, it says a lot of these guys were like college kids paying for their education by just posting memes on Instagram when they're not in class.
I'm going to call bullshit on that because, well, I'm going to say bullshit just because they may be going to college now. They're going to be a college dropout once that first $200,000 year comes in. Oh, and they say, what am I going to college for?
I don't blame anybody for dropping out of college in the middle of their college career because they struck gold on some kind of entrepreneurship. I am all for that. I am all for encouraging entrepreneurs over college degrees, to tell you the truth.
And that's why I say bullshit.
I'm about that.
Maybe this is paying for their college income when they're making 10 grand. But the second they make 50 grand, they're dropping out of college. Like, this is that's just the way this goes.
I wouldn't blame them. I don't think that's a negative statement at all.
No. And but some of these accounts, these people are making $200,000 a year on these accounts, and now they're gone. Completely banned. No warning, and that's one of the issues that people are going to have. Obviously, if you're an owner of this account, you're super upset about the fact that you had no warning. You were not given any type of hint or remediation, something that they can do to fix their account. It was just banned. The primary reason why I think it got banned, and it's not clear, and not even to the people who are kind of tweeting about this and talking about this, is why they got banned. And what I would believe is why they're getting banned is a lot of these meme pages are known for stealing of intellectual property. We live in a day and age where a meme is intellectual property, but that's a true statement. The originators.
Hey, if I made the joke, it's my joke.
And that's where we're at. The originators of the memes. These memes are often recirculated and stolen and sent all over the place without original credit. I steal memes all the damn time.
Today is Meme Monday in the Facebook community, nerdcantina.com/community.
Yeah. And, we repost memes. You try to give original credit to where it came from. But the truth is you often don't know where they originally came from. You're just sharing a meme.
Whose fault is that? Like, I don't think people are making memes because they want the credit. Because it's really easy to buy a watermark program. It's really easy to buy a watermark program, make your meme, and put your watermark on it. You know, so why aren't people doing that? Why aren't people, you know, like, it's no different. There are ways that people stop people from stealing their likeness by taking methods like that, watermarks, tags. There are things that people can do to make the meme. I honestly don't think most of these people are making memes because they think it's going to be a profitable endeavor.
Maybe not most, I think, but there's a lot. Most people,
when they see their meme hit one of these Instagram meme pages, they give themselves a pat on the back. They feel great about themselves for a couple of days, and that's all they were looking for in the first place.
Yeah, there's two sides to that. I mean, yes, there are some people that are just making them with their friends, and then it gets shared around, and it's super cool that they get to see it on Twitter somewhere down the road. But then there's a lot of them that, yeah, there's money to be made in memes, and there's pages that are purely dedicated towards individual creators of memes. There are guys who work full-time that just run Facebook groups, Twitter groups, Instagram groups that just share memes. And that's all they do, is they just build followings through that. So these companies who are charging people to then get into their system to get promoted, they're notorious for, you know, we go steal somebody else's meme. We pay them to put that meme on to their 13 million followers. We get all the followers. We get all the stuff from it. That the companies that's receiving the money, they don't care where these memes came from. So that they're promoting and sending out stolen intellectual property. And I think that's really what's gotten them in trouble, because there's other accounts that are still doing this that didn't get banned. And I think that's where, like, these accounts
to
are really...
To me, though, if the creator is not taking any kind of measure whatsoever to protect his intellectual property, you know, like...
I don't know.
It's hard to feel sorry for him, though. I'm not saying it's right, but it's hard to feel sorry for him. My kid leaves his bike in the middle of the street for days and it gets stolen. I don't feel sorry for my kid. Granted, whoever stole the bike shouldn't have stole it. We should live in a utopian world where we could leave just bikes laying over everyone's front lawn and nobody will touch it. But we live in a realistic world where we know these things happen. So don't leave your bike in the middle of the street when you come home. You know, it's the same thing. If you're not doing anything at all to protect that intellectual property or to try to show the proof that I created this meme on this day with this program, here's my timestamp, here's the file date, blah, 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 take this down. Because YouTube's phenomenal at protecting intellectual property.
Yeah, but there's nothing that you or any other meme creator can do that's going to stop me from ripping that off if I want to.
Watermark, because, I just said it.
Go ahead, put a watermark on it. And you want to, what I do, I just go to Google Images, I steal the same picture you use, I put your text on it, it'll take me less than 45 seconds. And I just recreate it. It's the same thing. There's no way to protect it, and this is what
so now we're talking intellectual property. The first person that made that meme, that meme where the boyfriend's holding the girlfriend's hand, he's looking back at the other girl walking by him. Who owns that original picture? You know what I mean? Everybody makes memes off that. So because I put some text on it with a funny joke, now that's my intellectual property, not the person or the company who placed that ad with that picture in it. You know, like, where does the intellectual property start then? Because it's sure, if you're taking a picture and making a joke on it, that wasn't your fucking picture to start with.
Yeah, like I said, it's a tough world, because it doesn't fall... Yeah, the people who create the memes, they don't really have any true legal protections. I don't think there technically is even ways to copyright or to truly own or trademark memes, because I think memes fall in that category of satire, of parody, which parodies are not copyrighted in the first place. It's they have this really weird environment.
So we should essentially punish the people that are trying to make a job out of finding the funniest memes, posting them up for an audience. You know, like, these are the people that deserve to be punished?
Maybe not. I don't really understand why some accounts got banned and some didn't, and really what the, like I said, that's my speculation, is just saying that that is something that those accounts are known for doing, is allowing essentially stolen content to be promoted through their site to backlink other people.
See, to me, this is about Instagram not getting a cut of that money for promoting people. If you're going to be promoting companies, then we should get a cut too. And I think this is Instagram mad that they're not getting the sponsored meme money. You know, like, they're only getting sponsored ads money based on accounts boosting posts. The fact that these guys have so many followers, they don't need to boost their post. They can just post a meme and it, you know, instantly has a huge monetary value. They don't need to hit that boost button and give Instagram the 30 to fucking hundreds of dollars to make that post seen. I think that's where this lies. I mean, you have countless Instagram models and accounts constantly complaining that they put up a picture and none of their fans see it. So take Erica Fett, for instance. She's been on the show. She has 2.5 million followers. She's constantly on Twitter telling people to go back to Instagram and like and comment, because if people don't like and comment on it, only a fraction of the 2.5 million people will see that post unless she pays Instagram money. So this is, you know, I think this falls into that throttling of accounts because Instagram wants the money. Zuckerberg wants your fucking dollars. And if you ain't giving him the dollars, we're going to fuck your life up.
Maybe there's some of that, but I don't know. I still think there's probably some terms of service that they violated that's going to give Instagram the right to do this. You're playing in their sandbox. You got to figure out what the rules are. You know, these accounts having multiple accounts and taking the same content and just sharing it, you know, logging from one account to the next and then sharing it again and logging from one another to the next, and having these networks of paid promotional spots that might violate their terms of service just by doing that, just by having, you know, the multiple essentially dummy accounts or fake accounts that you're cycling through. So it's difficult to wrap around. I get the complaints from people who, you know, have these millions of followers and their posts not being always visible to their followers in the easiest way. There's, you know, that's the science of these algorithms and the way they play out.
There's also, so if you go to someone's page and you click the three dots up in the corner and it gives you like the menu, you can see accounts past usernames. So how you can change usernames and things like that. It's only up to 2017. So if the account is older than 2017, you won't see any of their usernames prior to 2017. But there are people that create these meme accounts, get like 2.5 million, 3 million, 4 million followers, and then sell that account to an Instagram model that wants that following so they can make, you know, sponsored ads for L'Oreal or whatever they want to do. So I know there's a popular Instagram model named Summer Rae. It just came out that if you look up her account name, it's Summer Rae, but at 2017, it was like dank memes, blah, blah, blah. You know, so like you look at these Instagram models and they're like, oh, wow, she's got 5 million followers. A lot of them bought that account, you know, because, hey, I want to be an Instagram model. I don't want to have to work to get this following. I'm just going to buy this account with 3 million followers, post a bunch of booty pics, and instantly now I'm an Instagram model.
I've said it. I tend to fall on the side of, you know, you're always the hate Zuckerberg, hate, you know, it was a Tim Cook for Twitter, and they're making so stupid amounts of money, and they need to have better systems in place. And I say, fuck, this is a shitty internet world, and it's not that simple to regulate these things. It's not that simple to figure these things out. So if Instagram is allowing, you know, you can have the same complaint that if these companies are violating terms of service, they're doing unfair practices and they're, and they got banned because of these reasons. If they didn't ban these meme accounts that, that are just, again, building followings, getting millions of followers, and then selling their accounts to somebody else, right? So that's 2 million fans that, that were looking at great memes, and now all of a sudden it's an Instagram model. From one day they were getting fire memes to the next day just an Instagram model, and they're thinking, well, I never followed this model. I didn't want this. That's got to be illegal somehow too, right? But it's, how do you manage these things? How do you... It can't be your answer to hundreds of thousands of people sitting on computers just going through every account.
To me, it's just jealousy that only a small people, that, that the people that are smart enough to do these things are making this money.
Oh,
to
I'm super angry right now.
It's all just jealousy that these people thought of it first.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely hating on every one of these guys, which is why I'm not defending the ban at all. That's why I'm not defending the banned people. I'm all about them getting banned because hopefully it just created a gap in the market.
Defending the ban, all you're saying is Instagram should have all the monies. Facebook should make all the monies. Should make all the monies. Instead of the regular people that are making the content that allows them to make all the monies.
No, I don't think that they should make all the money. If somewhere down the road we find out that Instagram banned these accounts purely because they were selling time on their Instagram feeds, that would be something that I will not get behind, because that is, yeah, Instagram then trying to just cap or create how people can monetize. I don't support that. If it's an Instagram ban because of their multiple accounts and because of their practices and because of them willingly and knowingly republishing other people's memes without their consent or without crediting the original posters, then yeah, I'm good with those bans actually.
YouTube will shut down or demonetize your video the second you use a song that you don't have the rights to. Yet all these pages, you know, people can share pictures of celebrities and other, you know, online photos and memes and everything like that. And they let it ride until they find out you're making $200,000 a year doing it. The meme page that only has 50,000 followers, I guarantee you didn't get shut the fuck down.
Maybe not. It's probably got to hit to a certain point, but again,
it's an algorithm. It's an algorithm. It's a person making these judgments. If you ban the one with 13 million, you still should ban the one with 1300. It's not selective. And the fact that it's selective is what makes it really fucked up to me.
Yeah. There's gotta be criteria. There's not enough people in these companies, and there can't be enough people in these companies to scan every single account that exists and every single poster that exists. So there's got to be that the algorithms have to key on certain searchable metrics, and maybe number of followers is one of them. And that kind of makes sense. It does. If you've only got 1,300 followers, the harm you're causing and the monetization that you're creating at that point in time is probably nothing or close to nothing.
That'd be like the cop saying, I'm not going to go get the dealer on the corner because he's only selling small bags of heroin. I'm more just worried about the guy selling tons of heroin. No, you worry about them both. And to tell you the truth, the guy on the corner gets arrested more.
Yeah, because he's easier to catch. In these settings, he's not easier to catch. The easier ones to catch are the ones that are easy. It's easier to look into when you look at the metrics of number of followers than to see the practices of those people with the number of followers. If you're going to look at every single account, you're never going to get through it. So if you start with people who have a million followers or more, well, now you've got a manageable size that can actually, you can go look into their practices and look into what they're doing.
So then what's the answer? You know, you make a meme account, and when the minute it hits 900,000 followers, you just make it private so you can't get any more members. You just rake in the cash in the Instagram dark web of memes. like to me, this is all just fucking posturing and about money. It all boils down to just money for me, which is fucked up because I'd rather see the small guy. Like I'm rooting for the college kid making 200 grand posting memes. You go do your thing, homie. Do your thing. Fuck Instagram. That's where I stand on it.
But you know, again, when that college kid making 200 grand posting memes, but he didn't come up with a single original meme, and he actually just took 20 other memes that day from other college kids who have 1,000 followers.
Hashtag capitalism, man. Hashtag capitalism. Well, that's the world we live in, bro.
Well, that's what Instagram just told these dudes. Hashtag capitalism. Get off my fucking platform. We're the only ones who make money. Like, you can't support both. You can't support small-time college kid capitalism and then say, fuck corporate capitalism. That just doesn't make sense.
To me, it's selecting who you apply the rules to. Like I said, if they apply the rules to everybody, then so be it. But you can't just apply the rules to the people that are not giving you a cut. Like, to me, this is mafia shit.
I mean, they own the sandbox. We're just playing in it.
All right, before we beat this dead horse, and
let us know what you think on join the Nerd Cantina /community.
Just waiting for an asteroid to hit this Earth and wipe us all out because I can't stand the fact that a lot of this shit goes on, and we came real close to that this week, didn't we not?
Yeah. So if you weren't paying attention, you almost died. So there was a city out in the United States. There was a city killer asteroid that almost hit. And when we say almost hit, it got about 46,000 miles, I think, away. But 46,000 miles is actually pretty close.
You're talking about the entirety of space. We're talking
about the universe. 46,000 miles, that is between us and the moon, that an asteroid that was dubbed a city killer. So the asteroid is 2019 OK, which is apparently how they name asteroids. 46,000 miles, had it struck Earth, it would have at least wiped out a city. And the crazy thing is that nobody saw this thing coming.
Yeah, that's the really scary part, is that we got hundreds of satellites up in the air pointed at the Earth, but obviously not enough facing the other way to let us know that a giant fucking rock is going to come wipe out a couple million people.
Yeah, so supposedly it didn't get picked up by those who scan the sky and the telescopes that scan the sky, because of the angle it was coming at us was from the sun. So it couldn't pick up the asteroid because of it coming from the same angle of the sun. So let's, I guess, hope that that's not where an asteroid comes from. And if you're an alien out there looking for an invasion, apparently that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's just coming straight in front of the sun, and we'll have no fucking clue.
Yeah, we'll never see you coming.
But yeah, that's really kind of messed up. Like, someone put up a Twitter poll I seen on our Twitter feed this week, and it was like, if human existence goes out, like, what do you think is going to be the cause? And one was like nuclear war, another one was asteroid, another one was like chemicals or whatever. And I've always thought that, you know, disease will be what wipes us out, you know. But after hearing this story, it's now a coin flip to me between massive human plague or just we're going the way of the dinosaur. You know what I mean? Like, it's bound to happen at some point.
Yeah, you got to think it will probably happen. But no, I think the higher likelihood is, pandemic. We all die of some terrible disease. We all die in a blaze of diarrhea and
in eye bleeding. But I'm trying to think, like, if we have any historians or anything like that on our show, tweet at us. Has there ever been an asteroid in human existence that has wiped out a large portion of the human population? I mean, we get hit by these rocks all the time, but nothing that really impacts human life. Has there been a point in human history where we took one and it didn't wipe us out, but like, you know, a city went the way of Pompeii and just like, or do all these big craters that we find so ancient that humans weren't around, or they just hit in places where we weren't? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know either. I don't have an answer.
I'd like answered. So leave us a comment, tweet at us, do something. If you're smarter than the two dummies behind these mics right now, and you know that answer, hit us up.
All right. Well, I think that takes us through our weekly recap. We went quite a bit on a tangent there on the Instagram thing, but hey, these are fun debates to have, and again, we hope to continue to have them on thenerdcantina.com/community. Join our Facebook group. And let us know what you think. Let us know if you agree with me or think Steve's an idiot. Both of those are the same thing. I think
we all know where those are going to go. No, like we always say, this is the start of the conversation. Me and Ken just host a show, and we start conversations, and we hope everybody continues these conversations in any of our social media comment sections, Twitter, wherever you feel comfortable letting your opinion be known. Give it to us. We want to know. This is just the beginning of these talks. We leave it up to you guys to continue that and finish it off.
All right. Well, with that all said, thanks for joining us and listening to episode 26 of the Nerd Cantina Show. If you want to see any of the links or anything that we've talked about today, you can find that at thenerdcantina.com/show26. And then from there, just go ahead and subscribe and like what we're doing on your social media platforms and your podcast player. It'll help us to deliver you content more quickly, as well as to increase our followership. So that way we can build out this platform or this podcast a little larger.
And check out some of our merchandise. You can get a few of them from becoming Patreon supporters. So if you become a dollar member, you can get a free sticker. We just got a box full of magnets for your fridge.
Woo!
I think we're going to give those to our $5 members. You're going to get a sticker and a magnet. And then we have a merchandise tab on the website where you could order t-shirts, tote bags, hats, all kinds of things, you know, representing the Nerd Cantina. So if you're a fan, we've got a few of our members out there wearing some shirts. I'm really hoping people post them on their Instagram so we can tag them on Nerd Shirt of the Day. And yeah, represent the Cantina, guys.
All right, well, thanks, and we'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine. Anyways, I sign up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code NerdCantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code NerdCantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.